Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, eyes on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Well, we're going to do something different for the first few minutes here. We have a special guest to bring us some news. He's the director of, he's been on our show before, but he's the director of Near East Center for Strategic Engagements. I'll give a real quick Real Talk welcome back to Sarja Sangari. Here's your applause, Sarja. You can't even squeak by on the show without the applause. You know that, right?
And thank you, Audrey. Thank you very much. And I have to say congratulations for you expanding your show to various different areas of the United States. Much appreciated. I think you bring a viable voice to the country.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're thrilled because it's more people can hear people like you, the experts. I want them to hear the truth since they're not getting it. None of us are getting it in the mainstream media. So, and that's why I'm so glad you could join us here for a few minutes. Could you, you know, some may not realize that on July 6th, the president gave a Pentagon speech on defeating, it's one of those word twisters, defeating ISIL and the possible backlash in the Middle East. So just can you explain that? What did he say and how does that affect us?
Well, you know, on the during his statement, I was just absolutely floored when I heard it. I said, there's no way that would have been said. And I kept on going back, re-listening to the speech, and realized, yes, he actually said it. And the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement was the first to report this, unfortunately, I would say, because it took us 5 hours to validate what we had heard before we even released it, and not one individual from the various different large media segments had picked up on it. So basically the president said in his statement he omitted the word anti before discussing ISIL when he stated that the fall of Nur al-Mahdi has galvanized the Iraqi government, so with the additional steps I ordered last month were speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Al-Anbar province. More Sunni volunteers are coming forward. Now, while he's doing this, you have the Defense Secretary Ash Carter and General Martin E. Dempsey, Chairman of Joint Chief of Staffs, and other notable commanders who accompanied the president on stage. He was reading it off of a written script that had to been approved by the chief of staff at that time. And just prior to that, he had a meeting with his security team members. And the security team members we're talking about again is Ash Carter, we're talking about General Dempsey, the Joint Chief of Staff Commander, we're talking about the Vice Chairman, Maurice Letry, the Acting Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. We're talking about the fact that he met with the CIA Director John Berman and multiple other generals, including General Austin, who's executing the war downrange for Commander of U.S. CENTCOM. when you make this type of a statement, there's zero tolerance for mistake. The posting, one of the postings that we put on our site, went viral. 15,000 individuals looked at it, 5,000 likes. We don't want individuals to like this type of reporting because it shows the lack of understanding of what's happening downrange. And it feeds into the narratives that the U.S. is partially responsible for what is happening. Now, what we do on our site, the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, we try to provide individuals how to look at the news stories, and these are open source news stories, and conduct a link analysis. So when they see that in the Middle East, when your allies and your enemies see the fact that individuals are getting beheaded on a beach somewhere, as we had talked about before, and we're not doing anything about it, or our satellites are not picking it up. When you have, as you had asked me a few interviews before about Benghazi, and I said, I cannot talk about the investigation piece of it, and you see leaks coming out that it's possible that, you know, we knew about arms going to Syria, you're putting yourself in a position where it's basically showing that the United States is supporting ISIL. And is supporting them and is funding them because they're capable and they're trained. That's not the case. However, that's the message you're sending in the Middle East, especially when you're trying to sign a contract with the Shia-led government of Iran in order to be able to give them access to possibly getting hands on a nuclear bomb within less than a year if they want to. So this is something that you have to have zero tolerance for. You're making the job of your Department of Defense and Department of State guys on range worse. And the fact that the White House website finally had to pull off that statement and admit a mistake is even worse than what we're dealing with. That's why your allies are not listening to you and your enemies are not listening to you.
Wow. It's unreal. And a lot of people, even though that you had gotten that much attention, still don't know what he said. And he actually said something even more moronic, or at least telling. Mr. P and I were talking about this earlier. Obama said, and I'd like your reaction to it. I can't even say it without laughing. He said, and I quote concerning ISIS, "Ideologies are not defeated with guns. They are defeated by better ideas." Oh, God. Help us. I swear. This is insane.
Ideologies may not be defeated by guns, but security is the first pillar. And if you look at the strategic policies that you have, the main line of effort that has to be initially established is security. Part of security means you have to have a force. If that statement was true, then United States needs to get rid of all its military and give up its nuclear bombs, period. You're not going to do that because you realize that that doesn't make sense. Look, we're behind the power curve. When we were looking at deploying my first time into Iraq, there was a questioning period that we were going through. We had just gone into Iraq, and we were going through a process of a cycle of what should Iraq look like. Should it become a federal system? Should it be broken up into a smaller state? Should it be kept whole as its current borders are, as we saw those borders? What needs to happen? And as we were struggling with those questions, an insurgency was going on. It took us a long time to realize that there's an insurgency from the strategic level. The guys on the ground knew it because they were being shot at every day. Now, that time, U.S. had some credit to our name. We had credit. We had IOUs that we could have written and been able to get away with it. You cannot make the mistakes like the president making now. The reality on the ground is that ISIS, Islamic State, which is going to become a one-year anniversary of its caliphate, which on the back of their money have the United States, Russia, and China, and all the continents printed on the back of it because they believe themselves to be Islamic State and there's a spending money that they use, is establishing itself. When they were calling themselves ISIS, Islamic State, Iraq and Syria, we were referring to them as JV team. When they were calling themselves ISIL, which means all the Levant, we were calling them ISIS. Currently, we're calling them ISIL, and our newest strategic strategy for the upcoming 4 years is referring to them as ISIL, and they call themselves Islamic State. Why? Because they're not in the Levant. They're in Nigeria. They're in Afghanistan. They're in India. They're in the United States. They're in Libya. They're in Egypt. They're in the Sinai. They're trying to get into even the Palestinian government, which they have declared war against, so they could backdoor into Israel. They're killing individuals in France. We got to wake up to this reality. We are behind. The problem is ISIS is redefining the borders that they exist downrange, and we are still trying to keep Iraq together. It would take you tens of millions of dollars, more effort than you have spent over the past 10 years to commit to keep the current borders together. Our State Department still doesn't want to legislate some changes, especially about how it uses foreign military sales to start linking up with enduring partners like the ones I represent, the Syrian military fighters on the ground that need their support.
In that whole speech that he made, what is the strategy? Is there any strategy yet?
There's no strategy, and if that's called a strategy, then that's why your friends and your enemies are not listening to you, and they're not going to listen to you. Everybody's breaking a deal with someone else. Your strongest ally that you have in the Kurdish regional government is in a disaster currently. It's lost territory. Its military has a hard time fighting. Its fighters have joined ISIS in Kobani. They have their personnel have joined ISIS in KRG. The political stronghold friends that you had, which were Turkey and Greece, which are the two of the closest NATO allies you have in the region, are in shambles. Greece is since it couldn't pay back its loan to the EU, was at the same time striking a deal with Russia, and Russia and China are conducting which they have currently naval operations, battle operations in May of last year in the Mediterranean. Turkey is probably going to have to submit to a pipeline that Russia is pushing through its waterways because it has no capability of fighting against Russian needs. It will make money in the short term, but in the long term, Russia has just bypassed your Baku pipeline requirements that you had, that you thought that you could put pressure against it in the Southern Caucasus. You have lost the footprint. It's done. It is lost. You have to now understand at the level of Congress, at the level of Senate, that this is such a devastating loss, it doesn't matter if the next president is a Republican or a Democrat. You need to understand Islamic State is intent on remaining and splitting United States, if it can, through its proxies that are funding it as much as possible to ensure that this country does not survive the next 10 years.
Yeah, we have just a couple more minutes. Mr. P, did you want to ask?
Yeah, Sargis, when you hear our so-called commander-in-chief say that the Islamic State is not Islamic, how do you react to that?
I don't react to it because I have done the same thing that folks downrange have done. I would tune them out. And it's not because I'm being disrespectful to the president, because I cannot, as a logical person, who has effects with his writings downrange, and people actually in the Middle East read my writings, to turn on and have any reaction to it. The president can say what he wants. I put that blame on the heads of his advisors, and I put it on him as a commander-in-chief to understand that what you are saying will not change what ISIS is doing on the ground. ISIS fighters have been fighting for 40 years. These are individuals who have been commanders on the ground. They know the lay of the land. They know the culture. They know the language. And you could call them whatever you want, put whatever designation you want on them to define them for yourself. They are defining who they are, and they are defining what the Middle East is going to look like. So it's all up to you if you either going to learn that they have the tempo and they're setting the stage and the rhythm of what's going to happen politically to your country in the next few years, or you can just go ahead and pretend that that doesn't exist. The enemy does have a fight in this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just always excellent information, Sargis. Where can the listeners follow, get more of this information from and follow all of your work?
They could go to the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. Again, that's the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. We have a Facebook, and we also have a blog site, and we are on Twitter. And if they go there, the most recent article I put on there is about what's happening with China specifically. And we were the first, as you know, Audrey, to say that the Iran nuclear deal is tied to the Chinese and U.S. economy. And
yeah.
I will tell you, what's happening in China may recover some of the losses that we had in the trillions that were owed by China to us, but at the same time, it was what Iran did when it realized that it could play China against the United States on behalf of Russia to weaken us positionally when it comes to the nuclear deal. So if you go there, you will see the link analysis that we provided. And also the biggest piece that we do, we started the UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org, UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org, and thank you, Audrey, for donating. We need money to be donated into that site so we can go ahead and support the military families of the Syrian fighters, Christian fighters who are currently not getting any support from the State Department or from Congress to fight that fight.
Absolutely. And, of course, the listeners can, I will have that information, as always, for them. But also we have commercials. Give a listen there, and you can hear exactly where you can donate to help the Assyrian army to protect their families and their Christian heritage. Thanks so much, Sargis, for coming in and so quickly and giving us so much information. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Audrey. Same to you. And thank you, Pete. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.